listening to Monaco 24.
You're listening to The Globalist with me, Amy Gutman, and Tom Burgess Watson. If Port-au-Prince has a reputation for being an impoverished, dangerous metropolis, then City Soleil is its tearaway brother. The slum in the north of Haiti's capital is often referred to as one of the most dangerous places on the planet, and in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Monocle contributor Ed Stalker caught up with one man trying to overhaul the area's image through positive social change.
Generalizations do little to help Haiti's cause. Port-au-Prince's most notorious shantytown, City Soleil, probably isn't the most dangerous place on earth, despite the popular association. But it's certainly been rocked by years of gang warfare and drug-related clashes. During a particularly bloody upturn in violence, local pastor Jean-Enoch Joseph decided enough was enough.
Ce projet est lancé pour répondre à un problème qui a
10 years ago, we launched a project to respond to a problem ravaging Cité Soleil's population. It was a murderous struggle between the people of Boston and Soleil Neuf, which, over the course of a month, saw houses destroyed, women raped, and about 30 people killed. That's why we launched CONOX, the collection of notable people in Cité Soleil. Our aim was to campaign for the peace, non-violent and sustainable development there.
La non-violence et le développement durable à Cité Soleil.
A decade on, and CONOX is just one component in an umbrella organization called MPE. It includes housing projects, internet cafes and vocational training centers in Cité Soleil and beyond. All are managed by Joseph. I'm in a minibus packed full of Haitians rumbling through the streets of the capital. We're off to visit the 40-year-old pastor's latest initiatives. As we travel, the lack of reconstruction work in the over 2 years since the earthquake is obvious. Potholes and piles of rubble are everywhere. But Port-au-Prince is also a colourful, vibrant place. Buildings are painted in bright hues, people chat away furiously, and music is ubiquitous. We've come to the wharf area of Cité Soleil, where it meets the Atlantic Ocean. Cornex's Mary Jeanine Noël points to a set of new houses and a hospital. They were constructed by MPE at the end of last year.
This is a place housing people that lived very badly before. Now there are two sections, one part with poor quality housing and another with beautiful houses.
Noël hopes that those living in the shacks will be able to benefit from better housing in the future.
We need money so we can continue the project with the people currently living over there. Now they live more like animals than human beings. You've seen the rubbish and the poor state of the shacks. But if we continue the same work, we can bring them over here to live.
MPE's focus is firmly on small, community-based projects. They aren't overly ambitious in scope. But what makes them almost unique in a country dominated by foreign NGOs is that Haitians are doing it for themselves, conceiving projects and overseeing work. While debates rage about the slow progress of post-quake reconstruction work and missing money, MPE stands out from the crowd. Currently reliant on foreign funds from organisations such as Food for the Poor, the local involvement is a model that works, argues Joseph.
There's a big debate in the international press at the moment about the results NGOs are having. We can say that there are some serious doubts when $2 or $3 billion are invested in the country and you can't see the results with the naked eye. We need a giant telescope to see the results. But the projects from Food for the Poor and Fondation Saint-Luc are visible.
The aim is for MPE to free itself from a reliance on outside cash. It's hoped the Haitian government will one day be in a position to stump up funds, and Enoch is working on other ways to become self-sufficient. The noise you can hear is about 20 people working away at MPE's non-violence training centre. They're tearing up bits of scrap paper and cardboard that have been thrown into the street, learning how to make compressed fuel briquettes for domestic and industrial use. It's a way of clearing rubbish, finding alternatives to coal, and funding other social projects in the future through sales. With so much negative coverage of Haiti swirling about, it's refreshing to see another side to the country. It's a positive face, but, as Joseph argues, it's by no means the only one. MPE may have lofty aims of helping 100,000 people out of poverty by 2026. But core to the organisation's philosophy is the idea that people should stand on their own two feet, something Haiti needs to learn if it's going to end its reliance on donors.
Beaucoup d'entre eux sont sombrés dans l'assistanat.
Many people we've helped have been waiting for a messiah, an important person to give them food and things like that. But that's not good for a person. You have the responsibility to manage your own life, and you can't wait for someone else to help you live.
Education, of course, has a big part to play. And with five schools in its network, MPE is also helping nurture future generations who receive special classes in human rights. Visiting one of the schools, Monocle was received enthusiastically by the children, amused by the lone foreigner among the Haitians. This clearly was one of Haiti's positive faces. Let's hope there are more of them in the future. For Monocle and Port-au-Prince, I'm Ed Stocker.